your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Good day, and welcome to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, with Reiki Master and host, Phyllis Lee Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now, here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. This series of interviews that I'm going to do for the next 3 months is, the topic is mystic order, fantasy, or a quality of being. And we've already had two programs on mystic order so far, and this is my first hour interview, and I have with me today Candy Brandt. And Candy lives in Spokane, Washington now. And Candy, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you for being here. Well, when you came to Reiki, which was sometime in the early 1980s, we didn't talk about mystic order back then. So what I'd like to do is to kind of start before and then work into it. So could you just share with us a little bit of your how you came to Reiki?
Well, interestingly enough, my path into Reiki was a search for mystic order. I know you really scored with this one, but I mean, it was really a search for the mystic in my life. I'd been taking my undergraduate degree at the University of Wisconsin in philosophy, I think also in that search, studying the philosophies and religions of the Far East particularly, and just never quite finding what I wanted, and going to work and living in Seattle, and one day a good friend of mine said she'd had a reading with someone who said that I was destined to heal with my hands. Well, I thought that was a terrific thing. But wasn't too much of a believer, I have to admit. And then she said they'd just heard about something called Reiki, and that this was about using your hands for healing. And had I heard about it? Well, I hadn't. And so since I was working as a librarian at the time, I started researching the term Reiki. And back in the early 1980s, you couldn't find a mention of it anywhere. And I looked everywhere. I did internet searches. I did book searches. I did database searches. I know it's hard to believe now with the Reiki all over the internet, but at that time, it was not possible to find anything on Reiki.
Isn't that wonderful? Such a time.
I was just nonplussed because usually I was able to use my rational mind to find anything I wanted. And so I just had to put it away, and I swear 2 months later I was at a fair in Olympia, and I looked across the greens, you know, where all the artists had sent up their little tents and so forth. Here's a tent with the big word Reiki on the top. I can't believe it. So I went over and was invited to experience a treatment, and I did it and didn't feel anything, and I thought, well, that's a waste.
Great.
I'm a little bit of a slow learner, I have to admit. So anyway, a few months later, I found out that this woman was going to be coming to teach a Reiki class. Her name was Phyllis Forimoto. And I'd never heard of Reiki, and I have to say I had never heard of you.
Well, of course.
But somehow, I just found myself taking 4 days off of work to go down out of town to take this class with people I'd never seen before. And I have to admit, I kind of sat in that room waiting to be turned off. And it never happened. It was just all these very ordinary people doing very ordinary things, but no lightning struck. And I thought, well, that was a waste of a week, right? But, you know, over the next couple of years, I just found myself putting my hands on myself. And whenever I had, you know, a pain or a headache or whatever, and just found my hands going there and staying there. And after 2 years, when I found out that you were coming to town again, I realized when I look back on my life that it had changed totally, and I hadn't even noticed it happen.
Wow.
And it was fairly mind-blowing. So that was the beginning. It was one of those it was the first hint about Reiki not being a, you know, beating on the head kind of thing so much as sort of sneak up on you kind of thing. And being very gentle and very pervasive, because during those 2 years, I don't remember making any hard decisions about changing my friends or changing how I worked or anything, but my life had changed.
Mm.
And after that, my entire relationship with Reiki was always and still continues to be a situation of exactly what I need coming to me when I need it.
Uh-huh.
And being able to trust that. So that's pretty mystic for me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I thought I was pretty special at that time that I could do that kind of thing. So
well, for sure.
So it's been a pretty, I don't know, every experience of mine with Reiki has been about something mystic. I don't know if you remember when I did my second degree class, I thought, oh, I'll never have the money, I'll never have the time, and I went home to take a look, and somehow I had requested vacation for that class almost a year beforehand.
Yes.
And I thought, well, I don't have the money, ha, ha, ha. But then I called, you know, checked with my credit union, and they said, well, they could let me have a certain amount of money with that signature. How much would that be? Well, exactly the price of the second degree class. So my, it's been that kind of a thing. I always get these goosebumps every time it happens, and I should begin to expect that it always will, but to some extent it is always the unknown for me.
Uh-huh.
Always not knowing what the greater picture is somehow.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, isn't it great that we don't take it for granted? I mean, I have the same experience, and sometimes I think, well, I just don't believe. But
yeah.
I guess I do believe because I keep practicing and these things keep happening. But it's very interesting how it all works out. So last week, I talked a bit on my program about the difference between mystery, the unknown, and mystic. And I'm wondering if you have had thought about that, because for me, when I began Reiki, all of these things kind of globbed into one. And I realized that in the last 2 years since I've been practicing Reiki, that this quality, this is what I would call it, of mystic experience, has separated itself from mystery and from the unknown. And I consider them to be kind of three different things. And I'm wondering about you.
Well, I don't know how you would separate the two. I guess for me, mystery, if you say mystery is the unknown, mystic for me is more a situation of just me not being, you know, understanding or having the full knowledge of it, but it's still being there very solidly. You know, it's not just an unknown, it's just me not knowing.
Uh-huh,
sometimes.
Uh-huh,
and there really
uh-huh.
are two different things for me. I mean, sometimes uh-huh. I will say, oh, that's a mystery, just to mean that there's probably no explanation at all. But
right.
when I'm talking about mystic, there's a very deep meaning and a very deep connection that I know exists, but I'm just not aware of all the aspects of it. And I'm mystic, I trust. You know, I know that something will come, and as I know with Reiki, when I'm treating myself with Reiki, I know that I'm always moving forward somehow, even though it doesn't seem like it in my life sometimes, and that I can trust the outcome if I just continue to treat myself, continue to follow the precepts, that soon what I need to know will be revealed. And there was a meaning there all along, but I just wasn't able to grasp it at that time, you know?
Uh-huh.
So that's the difference for me, I guess. I don't know if it's the same for you or has a different feeling.
Well, mystic for me, well, mystery for me is something that at this point I have no way of comprehending a reason
mm-hmm.
for what's happening. And it may be out there, but it's really so far beyond me that I just hold it as a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
And the unknown for me feels like something that I might be able to know, but I don't know it now.
Okay.
So I can say, well, you know, somebody asked me, well, what's the future of Reiki?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. It's unknown for me. But if somebody, I would never say that it's a mystery, because I feel like at some point I'm going to know. You know, like we always, it's not that I can predict the future, it's that I live into the future.
Mm-hmm.
And so at some point it becomes a known thing. And mystic for me, the quality of mystic is having an experience of the divine.
Mm-hmm.
Without the intercession of another person or another ritual. So, for instance, I suppose that in the initiation of in Reiki, that this might be intercession, that there's a quality of somebody creating the space for the student, for instance, to have a mystic experience.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, what we learn is to put our hands on, and either ourselves or other people,
mm-hmm.
and we have very unusual experiences
mm-hmm.
during this time, or can have. And those, for me, are mystic experiences. So,
Yeah, well, I appreciate the different way of looking at it.
Yeah, but I'm very interested in yours. So can you say more about yours?
Well, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot, and ever since we talked about me having this conversation with you, and of course I keep having new ideas.
Great.
Right. But I think that at the beginning, when I was first searching for something like Reiki and found in Reiki that what I saw as the mystic,
uh-huh.
it was special. It was, well, when you say mystic order, I mean, the phrase, I have to say, bothers me a little bit, because it has such a connection to these, you know, hooded characters and caves and things, you know. and at first, I almost felt like I was being admitted to that kind of thing, that I had the qualities to allow my admittance to a group of people who could have that kind of experience. And so I really felt very special. And I needed that at that time.
Uh-huh.
Needed to have that part acknowledged in me, I think. But through the years, and particularly since I've you know, been a Reiki master and worked with students, I realize that the mystic is there for everyone,
uh-huh.
and is actually part of everyone's life for me, and that it's part of everyday life.
Uh-huh.
And some people choose to go deeper in it, in how they live their lives. But it's actually available to any student, just as Reiki is, you know, available to any student, and their everybody's experience will be a bit different.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that doesn't lessen its value to me, to know that anyone has the possibility of this mystic experience. It really, if there's any kind of a group or order of any kind, it would be just those people who have had enough of, you know, have had the training and practiced enough that they have the experience of, you know, for instance, putting your hands on someone in the treatment and feeling absolutely at one with them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that is mystic for me. And anyone who treats another person, I feel, can have that experience.
So that's great, because one of my questions, of course, is whether or not anyone can have a mystic experience, and I think you've answered that question really beautifully. We're going to take a station break right now, and we'll be back in a few minutes. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Never before in the history of live radio have such illuminating revelations challenged everything we thought we knew about the hidden realms. This exceptional mystic, seer, and healer creates a truly amazing bridge across the chasm that has separated man for eons from the unseen worlds of mystery. Join host Almeen for an extraordinary and enlightening hour by Walking Between the Worlds on Voice America's Seventh Wave Network. Walking Between the Worlds airs live every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
Over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her 2-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn, so follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand. Oh, no, it's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at pornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I'm here today with Candy Brandt. She's a longtime student of mine, and it's just wonderful to interview these people that I've known for over 20 years and find out something new, like how she came to Reiki, what her search was, and she might have told me that, years, decades ago now, but I sure didn't retain it, and it's been very interesting. So I know that in the beginning, when you were first a student of Reiki, that these questions about, do we have mystic experiences or whatever, weren't really asked. And I'm wondering if you have any recollection about this piece. Did you miss these conversations, or did you just feel like they were so private that people didn't talk about them?
I think mostly I felt a little bit like a fish out of water, coming as I did from the... As I'd said, my whole path into Reiki was seeking mystic experience and having that validated over time. But I would have to say that most of my fellow Reiki students and the people I knew that were doing Reiki, more of them had seemed to enter Reiki or come to Reiki because of its powers to help people heal themselves physically, to help people develop a personal, develop personally. And that I wasn't having those kinds of experiences. I wasn't having. I mean, I would have the usual experiences of accelerated healing and everything. You know, if you treat yourself continually, your system is in really good shape, and so you throw off any diseases pretty much, and any kinds of acute things that come on, like cuts or falls or whatever,
right,
pretty much go quite quickly, and you begin to accept that as a matter of fact. But I was not one of the people who was suffering from extreme illness or other kinds of things that... So I really had no one to talk to about what seemed to me to be the most special part of it, which was this connection with the oneness of it and the connection I really felt to the universe. It felt very religious to me. It felt actually at the center of... what I'd been learning in church, but in a broader, kind of a way. But people, I have to say, really didn't talk about it.
So, I know that there was an era of time when many masters and students alike were, I wouldn't say critical, but certainly wondering why we didn't talk about God so much. And I realize now, maybe looking back, that it wasn't just about God in the sense of a Christian God that we are used to, although that was sort of the context, but it was more, why don't we talk about these experiences that we're having that are so unusual?
Right.
Yeah. So do you remember an experience that you can share with us that would bring it home a little bit more? Because sometimes when we talk in these terms, I think about one thing and you're thinking of another, and I just...
So an experience,
you know, to an experience of what you would term as a mystic experience within Reiki.
Well, for me as a student particularly, it was the ability to, when you're treating someone, the connection you have with the other person, predominantly, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Both hands-on and distant treatment as well. But for the longest time, it was mostly hands-on treatment that I was doing. And if we were a group treating one person, there was a connection. It was like all of us went to the same place, including the person that was being treated. And if I was the only one treating this person, I felt myself a part of, I don't know how to say it, a flow that both this person and I were, you know, hanging out at. We were together someplace at this one center place, wherever this was, where we met, that was beyond any kind of personality, beyond... even whether I liked the person or not, you know, or even knew them. It was this essential human, you know, kind of energy center that we would be at. And it was the most, you know, it continues to be the most wonderful place to be with someone. It really reminds me of how much, you know, how connected we are regardless of how we express ourselves, you know, in the world. And, particularly with people that I didn't particularly care for. It didn't seem to matter. You would go to this place through the Reiki treatment and be at one and be, it just seemed to me like being with God, you know, that place of just being pure. And I love doing that. One time when I was living in Moscow, I remember treating a master candidate of mine. And we had agreed to, I would treat her for once a day for 4 days. And on the third day, as I'm treating her, I had this experience of the room filling with this very sort of dark sort of fog. It just like the air got thick.
Wow.
And it didn't seem like a problem, and I'm not one to, you know, see problems in these kinds of things, but it was, I have to say, it was my first time.
Uh-huh.
And everything in the room got very thick. The air got thick. I have no other way to explain it. And as she came back from, you know, sitting up and finishing, I asked her, I said, "Do you see this?" That's all I said. And she said, "Yes," and she described exactly the same thing.
Wow.
Now, that was unusual. And when we treated the next day, we had a little bit of it, but not the same amount. But we shared something there. We have absolutely no idea what it was.
Uh-huh.
It came from the closeness we had during the session and the long-term relationship that we had, I'm sure, and the fact that, you know, I was training her to be a master, and she was close to her initiation time. But still... nothing, you couldn't explain it, but it was important somehow.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So that was interesting.
Uh-huh.
I don't often have those experiences.
And has that happened to you again? I mean, you know, in another...
No. That particular thing never happened to me again. I sometimes have the experience of seeming like the atmosphere changes when I'm, you know, working with someone or treating someone with Reiki. and the air changes or the atmosphere changes in another way, but not so profoundly, and certainly not in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't. What's interesting to me is it doesn't surprise me. I'm not the
kind
of...
Well, that is interesting.
Yeah, it doesn't... I'm not the kind of person who sees things, you know?
Right.
But when these things do happen sometimes, they seem to be so clearly just one outward manifestation of something that's happening at another level that it's, I just have to do the same thing that I do when I'm treating myself with Reiki and, you know, come up against something and I say, oh, that's interesting, you know? You don't know what it is, but, it's about it. I wonder what that means.
Yeah. Do you find it difficult, then, not to go into a space of trying to figure it out?
Well, Reiki has come to me, to mean an area of my life where explanations are fairly useless. So I don't. I mean, I come from a background of many years, all my childhood growing up years, of a very rational, very type A personality. And I fought pretty hard against the irrationality of Reiki. And at some point, I think prior to the time that I was initiated as a Reiki master, just before that, that was the last sort of bridge to go. And I just had to accept that there are going to be things that I will not know. And they're just as valid, and in many cases more valid than things that I could explain. And I can explain a lot of things. So Reiki from the beginning has been something that I either could not, you know, find the research to back up or could not explain, or it's been a challenge to my rational mind from the beginning, so it's been a wonderful way for me to bring the parts of my life together and, you know, in one place, the rational and the irrational, and learn to trust them both in different ways.
Let's see. So there's this little blinking word, irrational. So you're using this particular word just to mean not rational.
Not explainable. You know,
not explainable.
Not explainable by me anyway. Seeming to me without not understandable to me as a rational, logical thing. And I have more and more, I mean, the older I get, the more I trust those areas where I am beginning to recognize some connection. I think it's with the mystic myself. So when you allow yourself to be guided that way with Reiki, it seems to be a more powerful direction header than plotting a map, you know. So that's, for me, the mystic too, is trusting sort of an inner direction finder and backing off and allowing that to operate. And I couldn't begin to explain how one does that, you know. But through time, you just get the experience of surrendering to whatever this mystic logic is, you know, whatever is next.
And do you feel that, let's see, there was something about destiny or this connection to our destiny, not used in a way of, kind of in this, what I would call an occult way, which is a kind of destiny that, you know, your life's mapped out and you don't have any control and, you know. Not like that.
But no, in fact,
I feel like there might be some of a quality of destiny in the sense of just where we connect and who comes into our lives. And
I think that's possible. I think, certainly doesn't rule that out, and it certainly seems to be true that some people come at the most opportune times for both of us, you know. I don't believe it's preordained. I just think that the potential for each one of us is so unlimited that we are led toward expanding toward that, whatever it is. And some people help us that way, and they come into our lives with the most surprising ways.
Yeah, it's true. Well, in pondering that, we'll take a couple of minute break and we'll come back to our conversation. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Awakened media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
Marissa, are you ready yet? I know you can hear me. You are not missing school again. Marissa! You trying to be a nobody or something? Let's go! Alright then. Hit it. I know you can hear this. Hey guys, move closer. That's it. Girl, I am not leaving.
Hey, whatever it takes, don't let your friends drop out. A real friend can make all the difference.
Cut that noise, yo! I'm coming! Took you long enough. Thanks for the help, guys.
For more ways to help, go to OperationGraduation.com. A public service message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Create a life with growth, balance, abundant peace of mind, and joy. Tune in and call into Spirits Evolving with pragmatic psychic and certified hypnotherapist, Lee Channing. By using the simple tools for growth offered by Lee, including intuition, color awareness, creative visualization, and more, build a stronger understanding of your own energy and offer clear, unencumbered energy to those with whom you share your life. Whether for an individual or a business, home environment, or your office, Lee evaluates and interacts with the energy at hand, providing an analysis of the problem and a description of the options available to move forward successfully and with grace. Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing, broadcast each Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spirits Evolving, your guide toward a life filled with more balance, intention, and contentment.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Moto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Today's theme is about the mystic experiences that seem to be inherent in this practice, or perhaps just in human beings themselves. And I'm with Candy Brand from Spokane, Washington. And Candy, I'd like to just go general a bit for a moment and touch this place where how can I put this? It seems to me that, Reiki or any other kind of what I would call spiritual or religious practice is not actually necessary for mystic experience. And in saying that, what I acknowledge is, for myself anyway, is that this experience of oneness, if we could call it that, is really a part of being human. And I'm just wondering if you subscribe to the same thought.
Well, I do and I don't.
Oh, great. I love this.
Well, I think that each one of us has the potential to, find those parts of ourselves to connect with this place of oneness. But Reiki is the path that accelerates our abilities and intensifies them and deepens them. This has been true for me with Reiki on every level of my life, physically, emotionally, spiritually. It accelerates healing. It accelerates depth. It accelerates creativity. So it doesn't surprise me that it would also, I believe, intensify and accelerate our access to mystic experience and our ability to recognize it and to live with it. So it's very compatible for me. I think that continuing to practice Reiki will help intensify any leanings that we have as individuals creatively or spiritually. And it's true, I think some people have lean more towards the mystic than others, and perhaps that is why those experiences might be more accelerated. And other people, you know, lean toward the artistic, maybe they're painting or, you know, expressing in that way. And I've seen time after time where a continued practice of Reiki intensifies that as well. So it's the same kind of thing for me, I think.
Interesting.
Yeah, not incompatible. And I believe my, you know, wanting to know about mystic things has probably been with me since childhood, if not before. So, I mean, when I look back at, you know, things I did in school and the things I, you know, sought out and even before I took Reiki. So having that intensified and supported and deepened by, you know, daily Reiki is not surprising.
And let's see, how can I say this? So when within your acquaintance then or okay, let me start again. Well, it seems like when I first started taking, you know, practicing Reiki on myself and on others and teaching, these things would happen, and I would think, oh, they're kind of weird. And my grandmother used to sort of poo-poo them, and she was very careful about not supporting people's interest or association with what I would call this attachment to phenomena. You know, that things were very, you know, down to earth and, you know, there's a result and so on. And it's been very interesting for me to understand that in my own practice, these instances that I might call mystic experiences have accumulated so much that eventually I couldn't ignore them.
Yes.
And I realized that this was becoming, had just as much substance and reality as my own, what I might call physical manifestation of the result of Reiki, which, for instance, in treating my burns, you know, the burn would go away and there would be no scarring and so on. And the same thing would happen for me in treating people. This little thing that you were talking about treating people and going, well, you know, I don't know whether I like this person or they're kind of fat or they're kind of weird or whatever. And then by the end of the treatment, totally forgetting all of that.
And loving them.
In this very strange way.
Yeah.
So I found the accumulation of that to be pretty mind-blowing and has changed the way that I look at the whole rest of my life. And I'm wondering if this is something that you resonate with.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I was raised as the rational child as well. And I do understand your grandmother. I had the same kind of upbringing. I mean, you had to see it on paper, and even then you weren't too sure, you know. So, and then add that to the fact that when I took Reiki, my first degree class, I had no physical sensations.
Really?
None. People in the class were reporting heat, and they were reporting sort of feelings of electricity and this, that, and the other thing, and I'm boo-hooing in the corner because I had no physical reactions to the initiation or to the treatments or to any time during the class. And in fact, during the first 2 years, by the end of the second year, just before I did second degree class, I was starting to experience some warmth, if I put my hand in a place for a while. So, I mean, my denial was pretty high up there. And what I really thought that I was not doing it right, not doing it well, and it hadn't worked. So I, of course, get lots of students who have that same experience so that I can share my experience with them to let them know that even when you don't feel it, it's still working. Well, they, you know, you told me that as my teacher then, and I wasn't too sure, you know. So What I finally came to understand after my second degree class finally was that my way of knowing what was happening with the Reiki sessions was not physical. And
fascinating.
And I could not tell because, you know, sometimes with certain students, they'll put their hands in a position, and because they can feel more energy being drawn, you know, they know something's going on there. Of course, we don't know what, but I didn't have that. So what I really finally learned to honor was that inside me, someplace, I knew. And if I allowed that to be valuable and worthwhile and acknowledged it, I knew more about what was happening. So I came to understand my treatments with people not by the physical sensations or energy sensations, but what I knew. And I think that came from the mystic place for me. And it wasn't until, a year after my second degree and past that point that I began to have, you know, physical sensations when treating people, and I do now. But at the same time, my strongest connection continues to be with someone that I'm treating with Reiki is on an inner level that is not physical. And it's just a knowing. And that's mystical to me. Honor that is quite neat. So that was a big moment when I realized that I actually had been connected all that time, that I probably had been connected since birth. You know, that was probably something I was, you know, this knowing was something I had access to probably as a child but didn't honor. But Reiki opened it up and intensified it for me and helped me trust it.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been one of the most powerful gifts of Reiki for me,
mm-hmm.
is
mm-hmm.
honoring that part of myself. And then the students who come to me now who have that same kind of, you know, I can't do this kind of feeling, or it won't happen for me. And then just getting past that place, just very gently, to honoring, you know, what you do have, and then, oh, yeah, okay then. All right.
Right.
Yeah. So that's...
Wonderful.
Yeah, so it wasn't a logical upbringing Reiki wasn't logical again, and I did not have the physical feelings, so...
Mm-hmm. Well, listeners, for those of you who needed to hear this, isn't it great? I mean, wonderful. And it is very mystical. You know, my grandmother used to say, the physical sensations of Reiki are just Reiki tapping you on the shoulder saying, I'm here. But for those of you who don't have that, you don't need it. That was always a big, like, Zen koan for me. We'll be back in just a few moments with more of Candy Brandt and the mystic experience. This is Phyllis Churumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her.
Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The law of attraction is very much in today's public awareness. In reality, it is not a new concept. Join Liana Carbone for Living Wisdom, the Art of Shamanism and Spirituality. Discover the roots of the law of attraction and go beyond its theories to manifest a life of balance and prosperity. Living Wisdom can be heard each Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network. Come join us to dream, learn, and heal.
Hey, how you doing? Educational videos, top quality, right here.
You'll never hear anyone selling education on the street. But with free family learning programs, you can get the education you need.
Call 1-877-FAMLIT1 for information on free learning programs. 1-877-FAMLIT1.
Check it out. Your GED right here. Guaranteed, Ma. Come on, check it out.
Free family learning programs from the National Center for Family Literacy. Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I'm with Candy Brand today, and Candy, I just wonder if there's something that you have to tell people about mystic order, and do you consider, I would assume that you consider yourself a mystic, and some people in Reiki just say, well, this is not about, you know, this is not, you know, you are not mystics, and that was always confusing for me, especially now, because I guess that I am a mystic. I mean, if I've had mystic experiences, and I consider what I'm doing to promote these mystic experiences in myself and in my students, then I guess I'm a mystic. But I always had this kind of very, a kind of image about mystics, like the whirling dervishes and so on. And
where they've got to go sit in caves or something, right?
Yeah, exactly. Back to the beginning of your idea about mysticism. So I'm just wondering, I assume that you consider yourself a mystic, but not one that sits in a cave.
Well, you know, one of the things I did when I was preparing to, you know, have this talk with you is look up all these different definitions of mysticism and mystic and so forth. And a mystic, according to one place, is mystics are people who have a direct connection with the divine.
Uh-huh.
And they acquire their connection of spiritual things through this direct connection with the divine or with God or, you know, whatever that larger part is for people. And, I mean, this is true for me with Reiki. So in that respect, I really do, you know, consider myself a mystic because I feel like I do have that direct connection with the divine when we
mm-hmm.
are treating or when I'm initiating someone. And at other times, what's true for me is that the longer I practice Reiki, the more that this experience occurs outside of a classroom, outside of a treatment, just in everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
If I allow myself just to relax and to slow down, which has always been my challenge, and there is the mystic, that mystic connection that Reiki has, you know, made possible for me, has just flows right in at any time. So in that extent, you know, to that extent, I am a mystic. I have not a real connection with people who see mystics as, you know, walking on nails and, you know, having really dramatic experiences because...
All right.
Yeah, it just seems like people can get lost there, and I'm wondering if that's one of the reasons that it was important for me not to have any physical sensations for so long, that I had to no place to go but inside to find
wow.
my connection. I would have been too easily lost if I had had too many. And I've seen this with students sometimes, too. They get so enthralled with some of the special feelings and, you know, some people see extraordinary colors and hear music and, you know, just wonderful
right.
things. They put their hands on somebody to treat them, and I swear they can see the entire inside of the body opening under their hands, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to think that is a special challenge to have a gift like that, because it would be, for me, it would be harder than to not get trapped there and and to stay, to hang out in that wonderful drama, rather than to go to this, to go further inside to this really small but very clear place that has no drama, no flashiness at all. It just is. And that, however, seems to me to be the surest and the most powerful place to be and takes me the furthest. So I've been very lucky in that respect, although it's meant starting out a lot slower.
But, you know, one of the things that I caught in your in what you just said was this thing about taking your time. And I just have seen in my own life that, you know, when I had, when I was younger, 30 and 40 years old, that I had a lot of physical energy and alertness, I was able to, I thought, you know, cruise through my life at a fairly fast pace. And now that I'm starting to slow down, I just see that there are some states of being that require thoughtfulness, and thoughtfulness comes with a kind of timing rhythm that's much slower than what I would ordinarily think was beneficial.
Yeah. I totally agree,
And I just, it's interesting because I feel that, you know, in my, I don't know if you've ever meditated, you know, through a set form. I've never done that. I've always, I've always wanted to, and then I've never had the tendency to do it, so that's been interesting. But I realized that it would have, had I had a meditative process practice, that it would have slowed me down in a way to acquaint myself perhaps more with this part of who I am.
Well, I'm even old, you know, I'm older than you are by quite a bit, and I think a lot about how that aging process with me has resulted in a shift of priorities for me. It's what I've found interesting. I can't quote the source now, but I read recently that they've shown in tests that with older people now, it's not a matter of thinking, being able to think less or being able to do less. It's more they can think and reason and make decisions just as fast as young people, if not more. But it's a shift of priorities and choosing, being able to choose not to do things and to narrow the focus in one respect and then on another respect to broaden the focus to the world rather than to be caught up in activity, to see the over picture and then at the same time to choose to go deeper in one part of your life and to be more spiritual and to be more mystical than a younger person might. So it's more of an evolution rather than a deterioration, which I'm happy to feel. Well, it really has been my experience that I still have the ability to do all the things that I've ever done, if not more, because I'm learning every day. But some things I just don't care to do anymore. And I just, it's not worth the effort or the time to do them. And I would rather slow down and go deeper and spend more time in connection with the mystic, in more time in deeper, closer relationship with a few people rather than, you know, ongoing lots of relationships at a, you know, usually a lighter level. And I'm looking forward to the next things.
Wow, fascinating. Because, you know, there's this great, cry these days that time is speeding up, and it always irritates me because I don't really get it.
But it does mean choices.
Yeah, I guess so.
I think young people particularly want it all. And they're afraid to let any part of it go, I think, in some respects, in some cases. And I think as you get older, you realize that you don't have to have it all, that, I mean, all of life is contained in a drop of water, actually. You know, I don't know who said that, but you can actually go as deep in one small place as you can in connection with 50 million places, you know. And the desire to be eternally connected to everything that's moving and sounding and singing is not wrong. I think it's very valuable for that stage of life or for people that are doing that kind of work, but it is just as valuable to not, you know, to choose not to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I would hope as we evolve as a species, we can choose those, you know, even at any age, we can choose those times when we want to be connected with everyone and choose those times we want to be absolutely alone and at the center.
Well, that is a great place to stop.
That's my
thank
goal.
Candy. Oh, that's thanks. Wonderful. Very inspiring. Thank you so much for being with us, Candy.
It's been a wonderful time to talk with you. You help me think when I talk it out with you.
Yeah, great. And I'm sure for myself, I know for myself, and I hope for the listeners, that you've inspired a bit of thought in them, too.
Thank you.
Yeah. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network and discover how you can find balance from within.